Partners for Affordable Energy, Mr. Reinbold, sorry, versus the Public Utilities Commission, Mr. Reinbold.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, my name is David Reinbold, and I'm representing Ohio Partners for Affordable Energy. I will be reserving 5 minutes for rebuttal. Ohio Partners is a nonprofit representing the interests of 60 community-based organizations providing bill payment assistance and weatherization services to low-income customers. Consistent with our corporate purpose to advocate for affordable energy for low and moderate income customers, we now come to this court requesting reversal of the commission decision because it fails to follow the law of the state of Ohio. The issues in front of us are quite straightforward. First, Dominion East Ohio Gas failed to comply with the requirements for exemption from regulation under Section 492904 of the revised code. Second, the commission acted unlawfully by approving an application that failed to comply with the statute. And third, the applicant and the commission failed to comply with the statutory requirements to provide customers with demand-side management resources, also known as energy conservation programs. State policy supports exemption from regulation of commodity service, but only upon a showing by the applicant that it complies with the policies approved by the General Assembly. These policies are designed to protect customers from the risks of exemption and the risks of exemption from regulation and require a showing of current compliance and prospective compliance. More importantly, the statute places the burden of proof on the applicant that wishes to be free of a regulatory system designed to protect customers from abuse by a monopoly. Dominion East Ohio failed to meet this burden, and a compliant commission approved the application. This is a violation of Ohio statutes.
Counsel, in going through your brief, particularly with respect to what it is that the gas company failed to do, I had a hard time following the evidence that you put on. It seemed like the evidence was more about your members or the people you represent rather than what the company was doing or failing to do specifically.
Mr. Justice Pfeiffer, The evidence that we did put on was designed to demonstrate the need for compliance with Section 492902-4, which requires demand-side resources be provided, and that is a goal and a policy of the state of Ohio, because that is our particular interest in these cases.
Could you put in understandable terms what demand-side resources means to you?
Demand-side resources are essentially energy efficiency services, promoting customers being able to manage their demand for a resource as well as the supply of a resource. You can receive energy services.
So what the company did here, as I understand it, is they said, we don't want to handle the purchase of fuel. We want to shop that out. Is that right?
Justice Pfeiffer, that is not actually correct. In this particular case, they wanted to change how they procured wholesale natural gas, which in turn is sold to retail customers under a regulatory framework controlled by the commission.
Okay.
But what they also wanted was exemption from the management and performance audit requirements of Section 4905-302. This means that traditionally the commission, after the fact, reviews the prudency of a utility's purchasing policies. In this case, and the reason the commission found that this was an alternative regulation case, the company wanted the commission to pre-approve its methodology for purchasing gas and give up the right to review the prudency at a later date. Now,
well, I'm having a disconnect between what it is they were wanting to do and what it is you came down to the commission and put on in terms of evidence. It just doesn't seem to connect up. But I guess your theory is no exemption unless you're doing things at the other end. Is that right?
Yes, Justice Pfeiffer, the commission or the company originally filed an application not for an increase in rates. And they essentially asked the commission to approve an alternative method of purchasing wholesale gas. They did not request an alternative regulation exemption. That wasn't what they filed for. The commission took comments from interested parties, and all very many of the consumer parties indicated that this was a major change in how gas was procured. It was, in fact, a request for an alternative regulation plan, and then it had to follow the substantive requirements of the statute. The commission so ruled. The company.
Okay, so you came in over here at this end of their business. They're saying, we want to do this differently. We think this will be in the best interest of the company and the customers and all of that. And you came in and brought testimony saying, but you're not doing what you're supposed to do over at the retail end, so you shouldn't get this exemption when you're dealing with the wholesalers.
Justice Pfeiffer, that indeed is what the statutes of Ohio require. If you are to receive alternative regulatory treatment under 492904, then the threshold that you have to prove is that you are in compliance with state policy. And the state policy is enumerated in section 492902. It is the burden on the applicant to show compliance.
Okay, so if they weren't in compliance and they didn't ask for the relief at the purchasing or the acquisition end of this chain, what do you do?
Well, our position is that because they didn't comply with the statute, they're not permitted.
No, I'm asking, if they didn't come in and ask for this, and you still have the same complaint over here, what do you do?
Well, we have raised that issue in a number of cases when Dominion has been before the commission.
But if there isn't a case, what do you do? In other words, if they aren't in asking for what they were asking for, if they don't file anything and they're just out there doing what they're doing and apparently you're unsatisfied with it at the retail end, what do you do?
Well, in a limited sense, Your Honor, had they just gone ahead and changed how they procured wholesale natural gas and left that procurement process subject to a management and performance audit, our remedy, at least insofar as their procurement practices, would have been to participate in that GCR review, in that performance audit process, and evaluate, along with the commission, whether their activities were prudent. In terms of the other elements of state policy that the General Assembly has enunciated, we would frankly have no remedy other than a complaint case. And in fact, because Dominion East Ohio's last rate case was prior to the passage of House Bill 9 and House Bill 476, which provides the framework for alternative regulation, there was no requirement at the time of that rate case that they comply with these various policies because the policies had not yet been promulgated. Absent them coming in on a case where these issues come before the commission, we had no remedy. We had no ability to argue these issues.
Okay.
Counsel, Is there any harm that has precipitated at this point based on your objections here, based on the activity that Dominion is engaged in?
Justice O'Connor, we have been harmed, and as have our clients and those we seek to represent. The state policies, in order to have an alternative regulation plan approved, a company must be in compliance with state policies on a prospective basis, and then they must indicate that they would remain in compliance under the alternative regulation plan. The record and the application failed to meet the company failed to meet the burden to indicate that they were in compliance with state policies. Now, it is our opinion that they are not in compliance with state policies.
Okay, what's the bottom line? Where have the consumers been injured at this point?
The consumers have been injured in this point, as we argue specifically in the brief, because the company, prior to filing this alternative exemption, this alternative regulatory application, and within the application itself, so in a prospective basis, fails to comply specifically with the requirement that they break down barriers and provide customers with access to demand-side services, to conservation services, so that they can control their uses of natural gas. Natural gas prices are highly volatile and are 300% higher than the prices that we saw at the beginning of this decade. Without permitting customers, as statute requires, to control their use of natural gas and to promote that as a service of the utility, customers are harmed because they essentially wind up buying more natural gas than they'd need. So it's fundamentally a financial harm. The second harm...
Let me just stop you there. What forces the customers to use more gas than they need?
Mr. Chief Justice, Ohio's housing stock, for example, and this is not on the record, but the housing stock in Ohio, the average age is about the mid-1940s. Housing from that time frame was not well insulated. It was not built to be energy efficient. Didn't have the types of windows that we have now, didn't have the high efficiency furnaces, didn't have the types of energy distribution systems. It was leaky. A house was leaky. And if you've ever lived in an old house, you know that that's the case. There are, however, a number of new technologies that permit us to significantly reduce the amount of energy that a customer uses. The programs that my members operate, on average, reduce the consumption of energy for heating purposes by 30%. That would translate into a 30% reduction in bill. In a time of volatile energy prices, it is important that customers have that service from their utility. And the General Assembly so found when it passed HB 9 in 2001.
When you say have that service, you're basically talking about education.
No, Your Honor, I'm not talking just about education.
What is the utility supposed to do? They're not bankrolling the new windows or insulation or any of those things, are they, for the customer?
Justice Pfeiffer, the statute does not specify how you comply, but the nature of demand-side resources is well known in this country, though it is rarely practiced in the state of Ohio. Only one utility in Ohio has any significant demand-side program.
I feel like I'm dealing with the clouds right now. Could you give us a specific of what it is that you expect the utility to be doing?
I can provide you with examples of programs that have been approved by other commissions. One program which is clearly cost effective is to encourage customers when they are replacing their furnaces to replace them with the highest efficiency model. Now, the average model is about 80% efficient. High efficiency furnaces are 90 plus, can be as efficient as 90%, 97% in terms of the conversion of the energy component.
Costing the same as the 85%?
No, they don't. They cost incrementally more. So the programs that have been approved either provide a grant to make up the differential in cost and move the customer up into the higher efficiency type of appliance, or there are techniques to provide low interest loans, which again would encourage.
So you want the company, you believe the General Assembly directed the companies to bankroll the differential in a 85% efficient furnace to a 95% efficient furnace, and you think the General Assembly expected the companies to foot the bill for that?
Justice Pfeiffer, the...
And where would I find that in the statute?
The statute requires that the company break down barriers to customers controlling their demand.
But, counsel, isn't that the basic foundation for that is education? And the company is retaining the cost or is being responsible for the education of the consumer. Is that correct?
Justice O'Connor, education is certainly a component of demand-side programs, but the company in this case doesn't provide any education on demand-side options for customers. They have no program other than a low-income program, which dates back to the early 90s and has not seen increased funding of any significance since then. So it's hard to see how customers facing a 300% increase in natural gas prices and served, and a small portion of them served by a very small program, makes the company in compliance with the statute.
Mr. Greinbolt, the statute, I'd like to get to that, because if we look at 04, the company had to show substantial compliance with the policy as stated in 02. 02 has 12 separate items related to the policy, and I was looking at your brief. It's rather difficult to tell what particular sections of 492902A are you saying were not met.
Well, as a threshold, Justice Lanzinger, our position is that the statute 492904 explicitly places the burden on the company to show compliance.
Substantial compliance, it says.
Substantial compliance, indeed. And because the application was not filed under 492904 and was never brought into compliance with those statutory provisions as ordered by the commission, nor did they ask for any waivers from the requirements of 492904 for such an application, nor did the commission make any explicit waivers. And our comparison is with the Vectren case, which we cite in our brief. That was a request for an alternative regulation plan under 492905, but that statute has similar requirements, procedural requirements, as 492904. In that case, the company, once the commission ruled that it was an alternative regulation plan, filed requests for waivers, incorporated filings, standard filings from a recent rate case, which the commission accepted, and then the commission granted the waivers. So the application had been conformed to the requirements of the statute.
Are you saying that none of the 12 were addressed by the company?
Not in its application, Your Honor. And in fact, the company argued that the commission was incorrect in treating this as an alternative regulation plan by filing an application for rehearing to that extent. Once they filed that application for rehearing, the commission ruled against it, and then the company did nothing to comply with the commission's ruling. So thus, customers were placed in a position of having to argue noncompliance when the burden was on the company to show that they were in compliance. There was no record evidence for us to refute. It was simply that they had not followed the statutory requirements in their initial filing.
Thank you, Mr. Reinbolt. Ms. Hammerstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. May it please the court. Seated with me at counsel's table is Mark Witt, Council for Dominion East, Ohio. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for Mr. Witt.
Ms. Hammerstein, could you address that last point about the section 492902A and the requirements 1 through 11, rather, that need to have substantial compliance shown by the company?
Yes, Your Honor. The company proved in its case and through its application that it was in substantial compliance, as the Commission found on pages 25 through 27 of its opinion and order. For example, if you look at the first requirement, promoting the availability of adequate and reliable and reasonably priced goods and services, the company maintains the requirement that it will be the provider of last resort. Under A2, the pricing certainty is provided by phase one. We have a price that's out there that's fixed, that changes no more than the gas cost recovery cost change on a monthly basis.
I don't need you to go through all three, but I mean all 11, but you're saying that the Commission did consider that the company had substantially complied.
Absolutely, Your Honor. The Commission considered that, and again, I'd cite you to pages 25 through 27 of the order, where the Commission looked through the facts in the record and made that finding.
Thank you.
Counsel, before you leave that, do you agree with what has been outlined by the appellant here, that to get to where the company wanted to get, the burden is on the company to, it has an affirmative burden. The burden is not on the complaining party here, but it is on the company to show affirmatively that it has met these objectives before the relief can be granted that the company was asking for.
That's correct, Your Honor. 492904 places the burden of proof on the applicant, in this case before the Commission.
The customers complaining here didn't have to offer anything. The company couldn't prevail unless they carried the burden.
That's correct, Your Honor. And the Commission found that they did just that. The Commission took their 240-plus page application and considered it for just what it was, an application for an exemption from 4905.302, the gas pricing provisions of the revised code. And the Commission had that authority and used it in this case based upon the facts in the record to find that the company, Dominion East, Ohio, was in substantial compliance with 492902, the policy statute.
Counsel, could you explain to us in simple terms exactly what this deregulation, how the acquisition of product unfolds under this deregulation? They were doing it themselves before. They were acquiring the gas. And they're farming this out in some fashion. How is that working under what the Commission approved?
What the Commission approved in this case, Your Honor, was for the company to put out for bid in 12 groups called tranches in this case.
Called what?
Tranches. 12 groups of customers, the amount of gas that those customers would need. And it was a descending clock auction, and the companies, the marketers, came in and bid. And at the end of the day, the price that was received becomes what's known as now the standard service offer, which replaces the gas cost recovery rate for the cost of gas. And that is and a price adder of $1.44 to the monthly NYMEX cost of gas. And in fact, what the record shows in this case,
the monthly what?
NYMEX, New York Mercantile Exchange, which is where the price of
gas. So the bids that they got was from the suppliers were floating based on the price of gas at any given point in time?
Not quite, Your Honor. What happened was the bids were fixed. They were this, and what turned out to be the $1.44 But it's the $1.44 adder that was determined by the bid to be added to whatever the monthly cost of gas is at the New York Mercantile Exchange.
Now, how is that a good deal for any consumer? I mean, didn't gas companies acquire, make long-term purchases? Can't they do that any longer?
They can, Your Honor. But what's happened here is the...
So what they've done instead is say, we'll buy our gas from people that are going to, the price is going to float. So in the wintertime when gas is short and the market on the mercantile exchange is high, you're going to pay full boat plus a dollar instead of having the benefit of what companies used to do, and that is enter into long-term contracts that protected consumers from the spikes that occur during the wintertime.
Well, I understand your concern, Your Honor, but what the General Assembly has determined here is that there should be a move towards competition, and the company submitted its application, and the Commission considered it under the appropriate statute.
But it was not submitted as an application for an exemption, was it?
Originally, the company submitted it under 4909.18, an application not for an increase in rates. That's correct, Your Honor. The Commission, however, more properly considered it as for what it was, asking for an exemption from 4905.302.
And isn't that really the essence of the complaint that's filed here, that it wasn't filed as an exemption and they didn't follow the statutory mandates and it was defective on its face?
Well, that may be the complaint, Your Honor, but in fact, they did meet the statutory mandates and the Commission so found. If you look at the Commission's order, you'll find that the record supports both that Dominion's retail commodity service is subject to effective competition, a requirement of the statute, and that customers have a reasonably available alternatives, a second requirement of the statute. And you only have to meet one of those. The Commission found that the company's application met both. Evidence that supported that, there's extensive competition. There are 16 marketers that provide service in the company's Energy Choice Program. 74%.
Well, counsel, how is that impressive if all the marketers are getting a cost-plus deal? I mean,
let me
explain. Wouldn't we all want to be in that game? If it's the way you described it, that the marketers can go out and buy gas at the market rate and add on a buck and sell it to Dominion and on to the customers. That's a no-lose proposition, isn't it?
Well, not really, Your Honor, and that's not quite the case here. The evidence I was talking about, the 16 marketers currently serve customers under the company's Energy Choice Program, and that is not at the $1.44 plus the NYMEX rate. That is at whatever rate the customers contract with that marketer. The $1.44 rate, in fact, has proven to benefit customers in this case, and that is the rate at which customers are currently receiving their gas from the company.
Can the customer lock into that rate? Is that a commitment, the $1.44? I know that was the result of the auction.
Yes, Your Honor. That is the cost of gas that they're paying on a monthly basis.
For how long?
For 23 months under the program.
So they...
It's a pilot program.
So it's not for all of the customers of Dominion?
No, Your Honor. And that's another point in support of the program. The idea that 685,000 of the company's customers at this point, and there's approximately a million customers, are already receiving gas from someone else other than the company, that being a marketer, one of those 16 marketers that I mentioned previously. They chose to deal with.
Okay.
And what the company is doing here is moving towards a more market-based cost of gas for the remaining customers. Again, a philosophy that's evidenced by the General Assembly's enacting these statutes.
And Dominion's ultimate goal is to be only provider of last resort, is that correct?
The ultimate goal of this phase one, and if they move into the phase two that you may have seen in the application, yes, ultimately they would only remain as provider of last resort, a safety blanket, if you will, for all the customers that would, for some reason, not be farmed out, either at, served by a marketer or paying the standard service offer, and ultimately no one would be on the standard service offer. Everybody would be served by a marketer.
Counsel, appellant cited the lack of education and programs available to affect a wise consumer policy, and he offered examples of underwriting or granting or low cost loans to help individuals with their winterizing their homes. Would Dominion be getting out of that obligation by becoming only a provider of last resort?
Well, Your Honor, currently, as the record reflects, Dominion, since 1993, has been providing services to the tune of $3 million, and in recent years that's been bumped up to $3.5 million
per year. And what do they do with that $3.5 million?
They provide the demand side type services that Mr. Reinbolt has spoken to you about.
So they do grants for winterizing a home?
They do, and I think Mr. Witt could probably speak more specifically to exactly what they do, but that's my understanding. They provide those kinds of services, the services that the policy statute encourages companies to provide.
And that would still be their responsibility?
The company, and in Mr. Murphy's testimony, stated that they were planned on continuing spending that $3.5 million on into the future, and the commission found that in its opinion and order in this case.
Counsel, I want to back you up to the underlying transaction that was ultimately approved here. I take it from what you've told us, the commission, I guess I want to go to the statute and what the General Assembly did here, because it used to be that gas companies entered into long-term contracts for supply, trying to lock it in because they're big volume buyers at a very favorable rate, so that customers weren't bearing these spikes in costs. So is it that the General Assembly changed the statute to move it away so that customers are essentially going to pay for whatever the whims of the market, short-term market is, on a monthly basis?
Well, I think that it was the idea of the General Assembly, Your Honor, to promote competition, and to do so certainly with protections, and there are protections still here. Again, this is a pilot program. The last 23 months, the commission and the company may not even come forward and move into phase two to totally get out of providing gas to its customers. The company remains...
Hadn't worked out very well, has it?
Actually, it has, Your Honor. It's benefited customers quite a bit. I can't give you an exact dollar amount, but the commission found when the order came out, based on the price, the $1.44 plus the NYMEX, that compared to what the gas cost recovery had been for the last, I think it was 18 months, there was a significant benefit that was accruing to customers. And the statute requires that gas be priced reasonably. And the General Assembly asked that we move towards competition, and that was what the commission was encouraging here, as well as encouraging customers to look at the price as a means of determining whether or not they needed demand-side services or goods. Let the market make that determination. Let the customers get the information they need from price to make that determination. The commission's order met the requirements of the statutes in this case, Your Honors, and is reasonable and should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hammerstein. Mr. Witt, you have 2 minutes.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, an applicant for an exemption under Revised Code Section 4929 does not need to affirmatively show that customers will receive a tangible benefit through additional weatherization funds or otherwise when the gas company seeks an exemption from regulation.
But Dominion did not seek an exemption in this case, did they?
We did not, Your Honor. We filed the application under 4909.18 for other than an increase in rates. It was our position that the commission could approve our proposal without having a hearing. The commission disagreed. We made our position on the record, and we lived with the commission's decision. We're not challenging the commission's decision that we should proceed under Revised Code Section 4929, and that's what we did. And in our brief, pages 23 to 35, we lay out specifically the evidence in the record that demonstrates compliance with each of the policy goals set forth in 4929.02.
Counsel, I'm still struggling with the long-term goals here of the statute or the General Assembly or the Commission. Tell me where I'm wrong. Gas is now, what, $7 or so? Is that right? And last winter it was 14, and your company could buy it at $7, presumably enter into some long-term contracts that would take people through the winter at a more favorable rate than waiting till it spikes back to 14 or 15 or 20 or wherever it's going next.
Well, Your Honor, for many years, gas companies have actually been prohibited by law from making a profit on the actual commodity service. And that's why we have this gas cost recovery mechanism historically. The purpose of that mechanism was essentially a true-up, whereby each month the gas company would estimate what we think gas would cost the following month, and we would have to do constant reconciliations.
Didn't you used to make long-term commitments for supply at a fixed price?
I just don't know that, Your Honor. I do know for many years, even before we filed this application, even under the old GCR regime, the gas price under the GCR was also based on the NYMEX. So that hasn't changed. It was NYMEX before, it's NYMEX today. What has changed is now that there is a transparency in that pricing that allows more marketers to compete in Ohio's market, which is the goal of this legislation. And the application we filed fulfills those goals. We would ask the court to affirm the commission's order in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Witt.
Before you sit down, Mr. Witt, could I just ask you one follow-up question? As I understand it, Dominion is going to be moving away from a relationship with its customers, either with phase one or the adoption of phase two, and they'll be independent providers. Is that basically where we're headed?
That essentially is the plan, and that is an outline of that is contained in the phase one application we filed in this case.
So does this case sort of serve as a test then for other utilities to sort of use as a model if they're going to enter into this competition and pull the utility away from the delivery of this?
In many respects, it does, Your Honor, because it creates that price transparency, and it's a pilot program to see whether having additional marketer participation and having marketers pick up the role of what the utility used to do could work. And in fact, I should mention that OCC, Office of Consumers Counsel, who was very active in this case, issued a press release, and it's in page 149 of our supplement, actually praising the results of this program. And we believe provides additional evidence that this, in fact, has benefited customers.
And then your view would be, if I understand it then, that this is in conformity with what the legislature has designed in order to generate competition in the marketplace ultimately to the benefit of those who would be the consumers of this service.
That's correct, Your Honor. And as part of the Commission's order in this case, we are currently in a stakeholder process with participation by groups such as Mr. Reinbold's and others who are working through the issues of what we think Phase 2 should look like.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Witt.
Thank you.
Mr. Reinbold, you've used your time. Take a minute and see what you can do with that. If you want rebuttal, you don't have to take it if you want.
Your Honor, I believe that I actually used all 15 minutes.
Well, I'm giving you another, because we gave the other side quite a bit more time. I'm giving you more time if you want it, but you're not required to take it.
Your Honor, I'll be happy to take it.
Okay. Well, it's your time.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. The purchase of natural gas and the practices of utilities have indeed evolved over time. While the record does not cover all of these issues, the NYMEX now, and as we like to refer to it, the tyranny of the NYMEX of a mercantile market, does in fact control our prices. But in the past, purchasing practices included a mixture of long-term, medium-term, and short-term contracts. Those contracts and the prudency of entering in those contracts were reviewed by the Public Utilities Commission on a regular basis. That provided customers with the protection of regulatory oversight to ensure that the utilities were purchasing natural gas at the lowest possible price for the consumers whom they serve. Because they are in a monopoly, it was important that the Commission had such oversight. The General Assembly did indeed approve a regulatory framework, an alternative regulatory framework, that permitted competition to substitute for review to some extent. But it did not bring that evolution outside of the regulatory framework of the Commission. Rather, it permitted such a move to competition only if a company, as was their burden in their application, proved that they were currently in compliance with state policy and that the regulatory change they requested would bring them into, would maintain compliance with state policy. Our threshold position in this case is that the application is submitted by the company because it wasn't under the alternative regulation statute, did not meet that burden. The Commission rules are illustrative of the fact that it did not meet that burden. Subsequently, when the Commission ruled that it was an alternative regulation application, the company fought that ruling and then did not bring its application into compliance with that ruling. Summary statements by company witnesses on the record that they complied with state policy do not prove compliance with state policy. You would need to show that there was ease of entry for competitive suppliers into the marketplace. You would have to show that the company was constructively working to reduce barriers to competition within their service territory. You would need to show market studies that there was no market power among companies participating in the marketplace.
You need to sum up, Mr. Reinbold.
And I will sum up. We believe that customers are best served by a regulatory structure defined by the General Assembly. Should a company wish to depart from traditional regulation, it has the burden to show that that proposal will benefit customers. That burden was not met in this case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Both the cases submitted, you would be advised of our opinion.